Today's gospel is not very long, but it covers a lot of territory. First, the healing of a mute man possessed by a demon, then the reaction of the crowds, which is not necessarily positive, but not negative either, they're just amazed. Then the reaction of the Pharisees, who are very negative, they think Jesus is in collaboration with Satan. And then Jesus going around to the different places, proclaiming the gospel, curing, and then a description of his inner response, the movement of his heart moved with pity for the crowds. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And then a sudden shift from the image of shepherding to the image of harvesting. Jesus says the harvest is abundant, but laborers are few. So, as I say, the gospel touches on a lot of things, from his own work to his inner concern to his desire for other people to participate in the work. It's not that Jesus couldn't do it all himself. He could drive out all demons and cure all illnesses in a moment, yes. But he can't change people's hearts without some cooperation. So he's inviting us as his cooperators, fellow workers, to participate in the gathering of the harvest. Now, that said, I'd like to turn to another short passage from the scriptures, today's first reading, which is a very intriguing one. I'd like to spend more time on this. This is the famous story of Jacob wrestling in the night. Now, to get to this point, we have skipped over many more chapters from the book of Genesis. We've been reading from Genesis for a couple of weeks now. Abraham, Isaac, now Jacob. Yesterday, Jacob was fleeing the Holy Land. He was fleeing the wrath of his brother Esau. Now he's coming back to the Holy Land. So in the meantime, he's got two wives. He's got the maids of his wives are like his concubines. He has 11 children. He has a very large flock, many possessions, and he's on his way back home. So we skip over Jacob the trickster, who gets tricked himself. You know the story of how his father-in-law, who's also his uncle, tricked him into working an extra 7 years for the one of his daughters. And Jacob now has been told by the Lord to come back to the Holy Land. Sounds great, except that his brother Esau is still there, and as far as Jacob knows, he's still intent on killing him. So to say yes to God is to take the risk of being killed by his brother. It's at this point he is caught up in this wrestling match. It's a very strange passage, because it's not that clear who Jacob is really wrestling with, and it's not that clear who wins. It's in the middle of the night. First of all, why he decided to bring his wives and children and family and possessions across the river in the middle of the night, that's a question already. Maybe he was trying to sneak into the Holy Land. Jacob was a tricky guy. I mean, we know this. Even the name Jacob, which is first identified with the word for heel, because when he came out of the womb, he was holding the heel of his brother. But it also means, Jacob means, or comes from the root word for deceiver or supplanter. He's a tricky guy. And his name Jacob indicates his character. So maybe he's trying to sneak into the Holy Land, the Promised Land. And he gets everybody across, all his family and all his possessions. And then he goes back across, we don't know why, and there he is, all by himself, in the dark. And someone wrestled with him. Who's he wrestling with? Is he wrestling with his brother in his own mind? Is he thinking about what he's going to face? Is he wrestling with God? Whether he should really do God's will or not? Is he wrestling with an angel? Is he wrestling with a demon? Is he wrestling with himself? Yes. Yes, all of those options. Does he win? Does he lose? This is one of the key moments in Jacob's life. That's why, even though we skipped over all those other chapters, the liturgy is right to focus on this experience of wrestling, of struggling. It goes on all night long, and it says here, the man saw he could not prevail over him, so he struck him in the hip. If this man represents God, it shows us that God, even though he's all powerful, does not simply overpower us. He engages us. He doesn't overwhelm our will, but he also doesn't let us just do whatever we want. He strikes us in a way that reminds us of our weakness. We can't tell God what to do, but God doesn't force us to do his will either. We have to cooperate. So it looks like God doesn't win, and Jacob doesn't win. Jacob comes up wounded. And then the man says, let me go, for it is daybreak. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. He's determined to get the blessing, but not like he did it in his youth, when he did it by trickery, by lying. He got the blessing of his father, remember, by pretending to be his brother. He dressed up as his brother and tricked his father into giving him a blessing. No trickery this time, just a firm will not to give up until God gives the blessing. Then the man says, well, what is your name? Which to us doesn't sound that significant. But to the Jews, the name represents the core of the person. And to know someone's name is to have power over him. Jacob, by revealing his name, is in a sense submitting. I'm Jacob. I'm a deceiver. He reveals himself to God. He submits. So in that sense, God wins. And the man says, you shall no longer be spoken of as Jacob, but as Israel. Complete change of name, meaning a complete change of his person and his role. Jacob meaning deceiver. No, he won't be a deceiver anymore. He won't be a self-willed trickster. He will be Israel. Israel means the strength of God, or God is my strength. In other words, I will be strong if God is my strength. Israel. You will be called Israel because you have contended with divine and human beings and have prevailed. Makes it sound like Jacob won. Do tell me your name, Jacob says to his opponent, and the opponent will not give his name. See, the opponent, if it's God or an angel, does not submit to Jacob, because Jacob is not going to be given control over God. He gets the blessing, but it's the blessing that comes with submission to the will of God. Now, I'm spending a lot of time on this because this wrestling match is a universal experience for anyone who wants to do the will of God. Anyone who decides to do the will of God and discovers that God's will is going to cost is like Jacob. Anyone who discovers that doing God's will is also going to mean suffering. It's like Jacob. When we realize that if we are faithful to God, we're going to have to give up something. We're going to be hurt. We're going to be struck in our hip. We're going to limp along. We're like Jacob. And this is a lot of our life. It's a lot of our life. Say a person, gosh, there's so many examples. How about the person who's at work and realizes that in order to advance in his or her career, he's expected to participate in the corruption? That's a very common experience. And if you don't, your career is going to suffer. Well, are you going to do the will of God and suffer? Or are you going to refuse to do the will of God and advance on your own? It's a wrestling match. Even when it's clear what is God's will, it's still hard to do. Oh, think of, oh gosh, I was, for some reason what came to mind was a case in, I knew about in the States. The bishop of the diocese was in crisis. There were fewer people, less money. They had to close down some of the parishes. The bishop had to decide which parishes to close. Well, what kind of a position is that to be in? Closing down people's parishes, churches built by their fathers and grandfathers, and alienating whole thousands of people. That talk about the flock, the sheep without a shepherd. Well, how would you like to be a shepherd and have to close down people's parishes and sell their churches? Had to be done. Maybe closer to home, families whose children are going astray, leave the church, they are living a sinful lifestyle. The parents are left in this position: if I'm faithful to God, I'm going to alienate my children. If I decide to win my children, I'll give a witness against God. It's a wrestling match. Sometimes husbands and wives are wrestling with each other. What's the best way to live out the will of God in this situation? Now, I was especially struck by this wrestling match because of today's saint, Saint Maria Goretti, martyr for purity, virgin martyr. She engaged in a wrestling match. She literally was wrestling with her attacker, resisting her attacker. But that was not the only level on which she had to wrestle, because she was also wrestling with God. To resist this man in order to be faithful to God puts her at the risk of losing her life. And this wrestling match was not just a momentary conflict. It's not just a stranger appeared out of nowhere and jumped on her. This man lived in the same building with her. They knew each other for years. And the man, Alessandro, had been, what's the word, approaching her over the period of several months. So Maria knew that this man had bad intentions on her. And he threatened her not to tell her mother. Her father was dead already. That would be the first person you would tell is your father. I hope young girls, they know that they can tell their father that there's a man with evil intent. But she didn't have a father. The only man nearby was the father of the attacker, and he was a drunkard. So the attacker threatened her, don't tell anyone what I'm saying to you or what I'm inviting you to do. So she was trapped. And this is not just in a moment. She's wrestling with God for these months. I want to be faithful to God. I want to resist the evil. I want to protect my family. I want to protect myself. What do I do? She's only 11 years old. That God allows people to be in these situations is disturbing. And we know Maria is not the only 11-year-old girl who's threatened. or the only victim of sexual sexual violence, sexual attack. This is a very common problem. Well, Maria is held up to us as a witness of someone who remained perfectly faithful to God, and at the same time chose the good of her attacker. Now, this is what's extraordinary about her. Not that she was, that someone attempted to rape her. That unfortunately happens too often. But she, in the moment of his attack, was concerned that he was going to commit a mortal sin. Don't do it. It's a mortal sin. In other words, you're not that you're harming me, you're harming yourself. Don't do it. Don't choose what is evil. You're doing more harm to yourself than to me. That's why this woman is held up for us as a hero. Because not many people can think like that, especially in a moment of fear. And she was deathly afraid, no doubt. Some people have complained that holding up Maria Goretti as an example is a kind of judgment against victims of sexual violence, victims of rape, as if to say, because she died, and that's the holy choice, then if a woman is raped and she doesn't die, then she did something wrong. That is not at all the message here. I hope you don't get this mixed signal. First of all, that's not even a choice for every victim. It's not as if you can choose to be raped or to die. Sometimes you have no choice at all. That's violence is inflicted on the victim. What Maria Goretti tells us is always to choose God, always to choose what is right, not to consent to evil. Now, I don't know if she was even tempted to consent to him. I mean, I kind of doubt it, but you never know. You know, a young girl at the attention of some man that could perhaps be appealing on some emotional level. But whatever was going on the emotional or sentimental level, she was firmly committed to the will of God. And that's what she's held up for as an example. Rape victims are not guilty, so they shouldn't feel guilty if they're not like Maria Goretti. But the other thing, as I say, and the reason why she is held up, another reason why she's held up as an example of victor in the wrestling match, is her willingness to forgive her attacker and to pray for him. Even before she died, she was praying for him. After she died and went to heaven, we know she was praying for him because he had a visitation of her in the jail. He went to jail, of course. And she interceded for him until he was converted. Extraordinary. But it's almost a miracle that he lived, because, you know, men who attack children are very often killed in jail, because everyone hates someone who does violence to children. Everybody hates them. Especially prisoners hate them. But anyway, and he almost was lynched. I mean, the lynch mob was trying, they were about to kill him, but it was the police that protected him and brought him into jail for his own safety. Anyway, now, you could go on and on about St. Maria Goretti, but it's an example of a wrestling match. Not only the physical resistance to protect her integrity, and to save her life, she didn't want to die. But not only that wrestling match, but the wrestling match that all of us engage in trying to be faithful to the will of God when it's going to cost us. That is true for all of us. And that's a description of the life of prayer. Maybe you saw this, it's even quoted in the meditation. The Catechism itself uses the story of Jacob's wrestling match as a description of prayer. The spiritual tradition of the church has retained the symbol of prayer as a battle of faith and as the triumph of perseverance. Catechism 2573. If we pray, we wrestle. If we pray, we enter into the battle. Battle with God? Yeah. Battle with ourselves? Yes. Battle with people in our lives? People who tempt us, or people who oppose us, or people who are our enemies? Yes. Attackers? Yes. We're battling everything, battling all these. Where does victory come from? It comes from saying to God, I will not let you go until you bless me. That's where the victory comes from. And that's where the grace that changes us comes from. We might not change our name, but we are changed when we cling to God. And when we recognize we have no hope of victory without God, and we can't let go of His will either, so we cling to Him until His will is done in our lives. It's a very valuable lesson, and one we can continue to ponder. We ask St. Maria Goretti to pray for us, that we can be faithful to God and remain faithful to Him until He blesses us.